is Scott, and you are listening to Fine Tune You with Hella, your home for holistically balanced living. Find us at www.finetuneyou.com and enjoy helpful, inspiring, and amusing information. Besides practicing holistic self-development disciplines for over 40 years, additional formal studies have deepened her knowledge and qualifications. Ellen is an intuitive counselor, transformational coach, and guided imagery expert. As a graduate of the American Institute of Holistic Theology, Ellen has her master's degree in metaphysics and is working toward her doctorate in metaphysics and holistic ministries.
Welcome, everyone, and happy Easter. The response from last week was just wonderful. I thank all of you. And welcome to our new listeners this week. We're so excited to continue our discussion on how to live holistically in a messy life. Again, I thank you all for joining us. Just so everyone understands kind of what this program is about, if you meditate 2 or 3 hours a day, and you don't have any chaos in your life, this discussion, this program, might not be of interest to you. But if your life is a little messy or a whole lot messy, our program might be something you might find interesting. And I ask each of you to please remember that living holistically in a messy life is not meant to be easy. It's not meant to be a feel-good, light discussion. As I will repeatedly say for those of you who stay with us and dig into your messy corners, one of the results will be that you will recognize an area or two blocking your becoming holistically whole. And as you address those messy areas and shift to an understanding of why the mess is there in the first place, then make the necessary changes, you're going to feel better than good. And for you, you will feel an unexplainable wholeness filling your being. As we start today's discussion, you might want to have a paper and pencil handy so that you can jot down any questions or thoughts you might have as we go over different areas. Then call us at 1-888-815-9756 and share with us your questions and thoughts. We really would love to hear from you. Before we start this week's topic, let's do a brief review of last week's discussion. This week we're going to be discovering our holistic mind in a messy life. We discussed last week the story of the butterfly, which for those of you who didn't tune in last week can be found on our website at www.finetuneyou.com. And we learned that what the man who helped this butterfly in his kindness and haste did not understand was that the restricting cocoon and struggle required by the butterfly to get through the opening was how the fluid was forced down from the body of the butterfly into the wings so that it would be ready for flight once it escaped the cocoon. We also discussed how living holistically in a messy life really is a challenge, much like the challenge that the butterfly faced when breaking out of the cocoon. But besides being a challenge, it is such an opportunity. Knowing that breaking out of an old habit or an old relationship that's not working can be painful, but it's necessary and a process we must be willing to embrace in order to grow holistically. And we acknowledge that in the midst of these challenges, we might need to stop and rest along the way, just as the butterfly was doing during its struggle to escape the cocoon. We also understand that even though we're resting, we must not let anyone or anything stop us or permanently detour us from completing our challenge. Like the man helping the butterfly out of the cocoon, he actually hurt it because he didn't allow the butterfly to go through the struggle that it needed to in order to gain the strength to fly. And that no one can tackle our challenges for us. We must tackle them for ourselves or we're going to remain crippled, just like the butterfly. We also discussed the importance of not allowing anyone to protect or pamper us just to avoid the challenges in life. Not that there's anything wrong with pampering and protecting. We acknowledge that pampering, when done for the wrong reason, is as crippling to us as not allowing the butterfly to work its way out of the cocoon was crippling to it. One thing we need to imprint on our hearts is that living holistically in a messy life requires us to be willing to tap into our personal courage, courage that we may have ignored or buried for a really long time, but are now willing to open ourselves to so that we can create the life we were always meant to live. A life filled with wonder and peace, with love and adventure. Living holistically in our messy lives compels us to look deep within ourselves, to look at those dark corners we have, and sort out some of our messes. Living holistically allows us to dig down and clean out a bit or all of it, all of our personal garbage. The choice really is ours. Now, last week we did a brief overview of the three major areas from which all other supports for our being springs. We discussed our mind, our body, and our spirit. As we look at these areas, we need to remember that just as the secret of the three-legged stool's strength lies in its weight being equally set upon each leg as a whole, and if one leg is taken away, the whole stool is useless and actually can become dangerous, that's the same thing it is with the three major areas of our life. If one area becomes weakened or is ignored, our life becomes ineffective and precarious at best. We briefly reviewed our seven basic emotions: anger, fear, grief, joy, love, surprise, and trust. We covered the most basic of our physical aspects, the most basic physical aspects of our body, our 11 primary organ systems, our circulatory system, digestive, endocrine, integumentary, lymphatic, muscular, skeletal, nervous, respiratory, reproductive, and urinary systems. Then we took a brief peek at some of the nitty-gritty or small detail supports that bring harmony to our three major areas: our profession, our finances, our character, our heritage or legacy, our creativity, our adventurousness, our recreation, and our material stuff. Please give us a call at 1-888-815-9756. Share with us some of your questions and comments. We really would like to hear from you. Okay, now, we've covered last week's information briefly. This week, we are going to start delving into how to achieve a holistic mind in our messy lives. What an intricate subject. How little we really know about our mind, which we wouldn't have without our brain. Brain, mind, mind, brain. So interchangeable, yet so different. When we speak of our brain, we're talking about that part of our central nervous system located in our skull, whose functions include muscle control, coordination, our sensory responses, you know, like touch, taste, smell, sight, hearing, and how we process our responses to those sensory responses. Our brain is where we create speech, where our memories are stored, and where we embellish our thoughts and emotions. So what is the difference between our brain and our mind? If you think of the term mind, It's used to describe the advanced purposes of our brain, such as our personality, our thought, our reason, our memory, our intelligence, and emotion. Excuse me. One way I like to think of our brain is it's like our car. It pretty much runs on its own. But we do need to do our part to keep it running, like checkups and occasional repairs. But when I think of my mind, I think of the gasoline we put in. If we put the wrong gasoline in, it may still run for a while, but it isn't going to run well. If we put in really bad gasoline, it won't run for long at all. And if we run out of gas, well, we all know the answer to that one. So though we're talking about our mind, it's really important we understand the connection of our minds to our thoughts and how those connections between our thoughts and mind provide clues as to how we can clean out some of our garbage and live more holistically. So let's take a short commercial break, and when we come back, we will continue with our discussion on our mind-thought connection.
Oz Acupuncture is where modern technology is blended with Eastern-style wellness. Oz's approach is to combine the old with the latest scientific technology. He transforms various ancient texts, then uses Hippocrates' principles to combine the best of Eastern and Western healing techniques. Oz provides you with the latest of modern alternatives, along with the most traditional of Eastern healing techniques. It's time to start taking care of your mind, body, and spirit. Achieve balanced health. Outlive your friends. Defy time. Change your destiny. Oz, located at 8 Immortal Center, 1188 Bishop Street, Suite 2409, in beautiful Honolulu, Hawaii. Call 548-7711 to schedule your evaluation. Make an appointment today. Call 548-7711. We want to hear from you. We want to hear about the messes and challenges in your life, the passions you have neglected, your concerns, your curiosities, and your questions. We hope you'll stay with us for a while, commenting, questioning, and listening. For those in the U.S. and Canada, call toll-free at 1-888-815-9756 to speak with Helen.
Welcome back. Like so many things in our lives, in order for the connection between our thoughts and minds to be healthy, we need to look at how open is that connection? Is it jumbled with a zillion thoughts crashing into each other? What are we doing about clearing up our mind's useless activity? Are we slowing the speed? Are we releasing negative emotions and clearing our minds? Now, in many ways, this is easier said than done, yet it really is simple. The trick is we have to be willing to take the steps or actions necessary for this to happen. Today, I would like to offer a collection of suggestions, tips, and practices we can use to shift and clear our mind's activity in ways that will work for each one of us. Shifting our mind to a healthier focus will make it possible for us to enjoy what life has to offer each moment of our day. So today we're going to suggest tips and/or practices that might sound right to you. Some may not and some might. Pick out the ones that you like. This is going to offer some ways we can shift those zillion colliding thoughts from high gear into focused gear. We'll look at different types of meditation, journaling, exercise, and other solutions. As I said, one of our topics that we're going to talk about Connecting with our mind will be meditation. You know, it makes me think back to my childhood days when I and most of my friends would go out in the fields, lie on the ground, and just watch the clouds roll by for hours. We never realized we were meditating. Never had a clue, but you know what? It worked. So first and foremost, I would suggest that if you have a field that you can lie in for several hours a day and look at the clouds, you probably don't need the other suggestions. But for the rest of us, let's forge ahead. First, let's look at meditation. There are so many forms of meditation. Research has shown that meditation helps speed the process of forgiveness. And I have always believed that forgiveness is achieved because when we meditate, we actually connect with our spirit, which is love, true agape love, which always forgives. Meditation also alleviates that non-stop conversation going on in our heads. For those of us who have not been long-term consistent meditators, meditation really slows, and again, as we meditate consistently, we'll stop persistent negative emotions. Meditation carries many other benefits as well, so it's definitely worth trying. Remember, our cluttered minds keep us from achieving our potential. During times of stress and anxiety, when our energy isn't grounded and our thinking is scattered, when our minds are too full of everyday stuff to think clearly, our brains get stuck on problems. We get into a pattern where we constantly try to imagine what's going to happen next, or we second-guess ourselves on all of our actions. There are many ways we can shift our minds so that it works for us and not against us. By shifting our minds to a slower, centered space, we can hear our own heart, that part of our heart connected to the source of greater wisdom than our minds can ever begin to understand. That part of our heart that offers wise guidance. That part of our heart where our most painful and difficult experiences are transformed. And we live with simplicity and joy. The benefits of meditation have been well documented. Recently, meditation has become quite popular and trendy. But that isn't really why we should do it. Due to our hectic, stressful lives, meditation is really essential in today's world. Most of us are overworked and stressed out. And through meditation, we have discovered how valuable it is to keep our lives straight. If we're constantly feeling tired and fatigued, meditation restores our energy levels. It renews our body and leaves us with an inner calmness, allowing us to effectively face challenges throughout the day. Some people claim meditation has improved their efficiency and output at work as well as at home. Many claim meditation reduces the amount of sleep that they need. Meditation is very deeply relaxing, but it's relaxing in a different way than sleep. During meditation, our mind is more focused and is actually in a deeper state of rest than while sleeping. Therefore, meditation actually calms the mind, relaxes the body, and refocuses energy in a positive way. While meditation is not a replacement for sleep, it's a great way to reduce the amount of sleep needed for proper health. Meditation has so many benefits, including increased energy, reduced stress, and clearer focus while working and taking care of our daily responsibilities. As a stress reducer, meditation is so effective that many hospitals use it. They use it with the patients, the doctors use it, the nurses use it, and they have classes teaching it. Meditation gives new insights and revelations regarding how we're living our lives and how we are judging or not judging or thinking about the people around us. Traditionally, meditation has been used by Buddhists and Hindus to increase spiritual insight, but it really is beneficial to everyone. It doesn't matter what your faith or religion is, meditation will work for you. And regardless why we use meditation, it is one of the most effective methods for increasing mental clarity and restoring energy without as much sleep. So when we combine meditation with an adequate amount of sleep, mental and physical precision result, making us much more effective in our day-to-day lives. Call us at 1-888-815-9756. We really would love to hear from you. So what are some types of meditation that we're going to look at? There are so many kinds. Meditation, you know, dates back over 5,000 years. And people realized that long ago the benefits of meditation. Today, let's look at just a few types of meditation. And that way you can make an educated decision on what type might be right for you. One of the first ones is breath watching. Breath watching is exactly what it says. Watching and being aware of your breathing during meditation. Here are a few suggestions that if you want to do breath watching will make it a little bit more successful. It's important to be in a comfortable room, free of distractions. Sit in a comfortable position, either in a chair or on the floor. Close your eyes and begin taking slow, deep breaths through your nose and exhale through your mouth. As you're breathing, be aware of how your breath travels in your nose and throughout your body. Keep all of your attention on your breath. It's best to stay focused on your breath for 20 to 30 minutes. Now, besides breath watching, a good habit to develop is breathe. Yes, I know, we all breathe, hopefully. Anyway, before you know, you might be going into some kind of a stressful situation, or you come out of a stressful situation, breathing is an excellent way to release the tension. It allows more oxygen to get into your body and releases the physical tension. There's two ways breathing exercises benefit us. We can do them anytime, anywhere, even if challenging circumstances aren't letting up. The best way to do it is take 10 deep inhales and exhales. Make each breath slow and deliberate. Our minds quiet by the end of the 10th exhale. So let's try a short, purposeful breathing exercise. We're going to do 10 deep breaths with 10 deliberate exhales. I hope this exercise has given you a glimmer of just how a few minutes of breathing can shift your mood. Whether breath watching or doing a short, purposeful breathing exercise, when you do this, tension is released and our mind and body benefit. As Thich Nhat Hanh says, breathing in, I calm my body and mind. Breathing out, I smile. Dwelling in the present moment, I know that this is the only moment. Breath watching and purposeful short breathing periods are excitingly calming exercises. Now, another of the types of meditation that we could look at is the empty mind meditation. That's exactly what it is, empty mind. This meditation requires actually patience and focus, because it means that you're to empty your mind of all your thoughts and allow your mind to rest. And most of us, we have so much dialogue going on in our heads that it's very difficult for us to quiet that dialogue and find an empty spot. In order to do this exercise, it's really good, again, to be in a quiet room and to sit extremely still. Traditionally, this is done cross-legged. But for those of us that don't like to sit cross-legged, you can sit in a chair. Allow your thoughts to travel through your mind and out and into the atmosphere, and just don't pay any attention to them. Then there's another type of exercise that actually benefits us in many ways, the walking meditation. As you practice this meditation, you move your body and you keep focus on how your body moves. Do you swing your arms or not? Do you lift your legs up or do you kind of shuffle along? No matter how you move, it's perfectly fine. The important thing is you pay attention to your movements. You can do this meditation when you're walking down the street, or say you're in your office and you have a problem while you're pacing in order to clear your mind, pay attention to the movements of your body. Or say you're out on a run, not really walking, but running. Just pay really close attention to how your body is moving. Just walking by itself is such a great stress reliever. It helps you blow off steam and it releases those endorphins if you keep it up long enough. You know, it does take about 15 minutes for the endorphins to start to kick in. Taking a walk when stressed provides the bonus of getting you out of the stressful situation and providing a perspective so that you can return with a new frame of mind. As your mind tries to wander, concentrate on the movements of your body. See how you're moving. What does it take for your body to move? This is so simple, yet so effective. And you know there is the added bonus that if you need to lose weight, and if you really get into the walking meditation, you could cover 10,000 steps a day, which is really the recommended amount of steps for healthy adults to lose weight. And guess what the bonus is? You calm your mind. So that's our walking meditation. Then we have the mindfulness meditation. Mindfulness focuses on what is happening to you right now, and being aware of what you're thinking, all those zillion thoughts you're supposed to clear and pay attention to them all, how you're feeling right now. So you've got your thoughts and your feelings and you're paying attention to it all. In mindfulness, you become fully immersed in whatever activity you're doing You don't have to be in a chair. You can be sweeping the floor. But you pay attention to how that broom is moving, how the dirt is moving with the broom, how your body is moving. And what are you thinking while you're sweeping the floor? Is it a chore of delight or is it a burden? Doesn't matter. The important thing is connect your thoughts. Mindfulness is such a wonderful option for busy people. While it does involve slowing down and focusing on one thing, it doesn't involve stopping all activity the way traditional meditation does. You don't judge yourself. You just open your mind to what you're really feeling. And more importantly, why are you feeling the way you do? This is a practice that the Buddhist monks use as a sort of self-awakening tool, and we can too. One way to meditate is to find a place where you can sit and relax and simply observe your thoughts without becoming attached to them. Once you've noticed them, you can let them go and bring your focus back to the present moment. Now, mindfulness includes paying attention to your body, your mind, and your spirit from within and outside. It's an objective, non-judgmental way of really looking at the complete us. Mindfulness includes accepting ourselves, warts and all. And as I say, I have plenty of warts. Mindfulness includes being aware of our emotional patterns. Do you tend to hold on to things and fret? Or do you tend to hold on to things and work them up in your mind until you get angry? Or are you someone who lets go of things and just sees the delight and joy around you? Mindfulness includes observing yourself in a non-judgmental way, no matter what you're thinking. Please don't judge yourself. That's not mindfulness. But as you're recognizing your thoughts and your feelings, notice what's happening to your body, inside and out. Are you tense? Do you feel a clenching in your gut? Just pay attention to what's happening. But again, don't judge yourself. Just pay attention. Mindfulness includes noticing and becoming aware of all those emotional and physical feelings that we have. You know how sometimes you get worried about something and you tend to get that little headache in the back of your head and you find yourself rubbing your neck? Shift into mindfulness. Be aware of that feeling. Mindfulness also includes being aware of what you see, the colors around you, the images around you. If you're walking, cars going down the street, people passing, you actually notice them. You're not oblivious. You even pay attention to words and numbers. You hear people differently. You actually are connected. You pay attention to the volume and the tone and whether what you're thinking is positive or negative. Mindfulness includes being aware of taste and smells. Do you smell that bakery down the street, that fresh baked bread? Or are you so wrapped up in what's happening that you have missed that beautiful aroma? And as you do notice the smells, pay attention to how it changes you physiologically. You know, complete an activity like cooking a meal with mindfulness. Pay attention to how you chop those vegetables, how you mix the ingredients. Do it with love. Put your whole heart and soul into preparing that meal. It is so healing when you do this. And the bonus is that whatever meal you've prepared, whether it's for you or for 100 people, that meal will taste delicious because you did it mindfully. And remember what Mark Victor Hansen said. Now is the only time there is. Make your now wow. Make your minutes miracles. And make your days pay. Your life will have been magnificently lived and invested. And when you die, you will have made a difference. So let's take a short commercial break. And when we come back, we'll continue our discussion on different types of meditations.
Are you ready to achieve your deepest dreams, enhance your healing, or offer your best to the world? Then visit us at www.findtoyou.com, where we've been since 1998. As you search our website, you will find encouragement, inspiration, and amusing information. If you are ready for intuitive counseling, transformational coaching, or a personalized interactive guided imagery recording, send an email to helen@findtoyou.com or call her at 877-469-5505, extension 1. We want to hear from you. We want to hear about the messes and challenges in your life, the passions you have neglected, your concerns, your curiosities, and your questions. We hope you'll stay with us for a while, commenting, questioning, and listening. For those in the U.S. and Canada, call toll-free at 1-888-815-9756 to speak with Helen.
Welcome back. Now let's look at another meditation. I think one of the most simple meditations to do is the simple mantra meditation. Transcendental meditation is known, which is really a simple mantra meditation. Now, what we do is with the mantra meditation, you will focus on a sound. Now, that sound can either be a tone or a short phrase. A lot of people think it has to be that short phrase. It can also be a tone that you focus on. When we think about the phrase, that phrase is repeated over and over, and we say it, and we let it come to the front of our mind. Other thoughts will be passing through, but you focus on the phrase. Say the phrase love. I always like to have a mantra that has a positive aspect to it, and what's more positive than love? Or you could say love and joy. So we'll say love and joy, and in the back of our mind we have, oh, I need to do the dishes, I need to go get the groceries, and all these other thoughts. Let them just float away and focus on love and joy, and not saying it out loud now. You're focusing on it in your head. You're not speaking it out loud. And just let it be there. It's really good to do this kind of meditation for 20 minutes a day, twice a day. Kind of like taking a bath or brushing your teeth. A lot of people take a bath in the morning before they go out, and then they take another one just before they go to bed. This is just another cleansing, except it's a cleansing for your mind. Whatever you choose, whatever kind of meditation you choose, have it feel comfortable for you. Make sure it suits your needs and helps you find your inner peace. And if you try one and it doesn't work, try something else, for Pete's sake. You know, don't get locked in because, oh, I started this, I have to do it. But I do want to suggest give it enough time. A long time ago, I used to go to Al-Anon, and because I was married to an alcoholic, and there was an old saying there, come back for 6 weeks before you give up on us. And I would say the same thing with what you try. Just because once doesn't feel comfortable, I doubt if you haven't done any meditation, if any of them are going to feel comfortable the first time. Give it at least a week, I would say, of trying one. And then if it's not working, say, maybe I need to try something else. Now, another kind of meditation that people don't think of as meditation is prayer. You know, sometimes we pray and sometimes our prayers get whiny. That was not the kind of prayer I'm talking about. I'm talking about if you pray and you're really focusing on the other person aspect of prayer, that kind of prayer can work as well as any meditation. And there's an old saying, you know, if you're going to worry, don't pray. And if you're praying, why the heck are you worrying? We do know that officially, I guess, prayer is not considered a meditation. But this, it just is, you know, I think it is. I've used prayer for many years as a form of meditation. Then the other thing we can talk about that isn't really a meditation but really works is self-talk. You know, how we talk to ourselves. That dialogue running around in our heads that gets us in so much trouble so many times. Somebody says something to us and we play it in our head, and the next thing you know, we've twisted it into something that it wasn't meant even in the first place. We can also twist it into something positive even if it was meant to cause a problem. This self-talk, if we use it properly, can develop a positive mental attitude. We can reassure ourselves that everything is going to be fine. And if we do that, self-talk can fill us with power and self-confidence. Self-talk gives us such an opportunity. It gives us the opportunity to change our negative patterns into positive thoughts and behavior patterns. Self-talk can provide the motivation we might need to take care of our body, our mind, and our spirit in a healthy way. Self-talk, if we use it properly, gives us positive feedback. And you know what? When you have positive feedback, it boosts our energy levels. If you're really, really tired, pay attention to what you've been telling yourself. Chances are it hasn't been really positive. With self-talk, we feel pretty good about ourselves. Our way of life becomes easier. And you know what? We tend to see the fun in things. We tend to laugh more. We tend to giggle more. And I was mentioning earlier, we have a rule in our house that you need to laugh at least 30 minutes a day. Whether it's real or not, I don't know if you're aware of it, whether it's real or not, laughter kicks in those endorphins. And so it's really good for you. And we're going to talk about laughter again, but I just couldn't resist because fun-filled, you know. With self-talk, we can become more productive. We will have more satisfying relationships because we're going to have a positive attitude about that other person. And we can lead a happier life because we're going to see the happiness in things. Now, during self-talk, we can discuss matters that we know are important to us. We can explore our mind and find new answers and new ideas to the problems that we've been facing. We can look at new information on relationships that maybe haven't been that comfortable. Maybe we could try to think about walking in that other person's shoe for a few steps and see if we could look at them from a different light. And there's other matters that are so important in life. I don't care who you are. Anyone can benefit from intelligent self-talk. But it must be from a positive point of view, and it must be looking at it with a positive attitude. Now, another thing you can do to help clear your mind and stop those jillion thoughts running around is you can journal, or expressive writing, whatever you want to call it. If your mind is filled with stressful thoughts and you can't stop the turmoil, and meditation isn't working for you because there's so many jumbled thoughts going on, another alternative is to write. Give in to your thoughts. Write whatever pops into your head. And I know you're going to say, but the thoughts pop in so fast I can't write them all down. That's all right. Perfectly all right. Write down the thoughts that you can grasp and just write them down and keep writing and keep writing. And I promise you that that jumble will slow down. Now, if you've got a lot of turmoil going on, you may have to write for an hour or more before the jumble comes down. And if you're somebody who really has a few issues, you may even be raging as you write. You may be so angry and your words you're writing down are not the most positive words that you would wish for. And if you're really sad while you write, you may be crying. You may be filled with despair. But you know what? I don't care whether you're angry or whether you're crying or whether you're filled with despair. Write. 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 You can write, I hate you. You can write stronger words if you want. Hate is about as strong as I can get. And you can write through your tears. Oh, I know, afterward it's not going to be legible. You may not even know what you wrote until you get toward the end. You know what? It doesn't matter. But keep writing until you find peace. Because if you write long enough, that noise in your head quiets. And if you write with a desire to get through the rage, to get through the tears, to get through the despair, answers will appear. And I can promise you, you're going to find peace. Through journaling, you delve deeper into topics that plague your mind. Because you fully experience and examine your emotions, whether you like it or not. And the other thing that's wonderful, when you're journaling, you can brainstorm solutions and examine different ways of looking at your problems. Now, yes, you can do that through self-talk too, but not all of us are able to hold on to those thoughts that we talk about and work out in our head. Sometimes we need to write them down. If you're one of those people, journaling is a really good option for you. Try looking at your problem from different points of view. This is known as cognitive restructuring. A technical term, and you don't need to remember it, but the important thing is to remember, look at your problems from different points of view. Write down how it would be from the other person's point of view. How do they see it? How do you see it? How would the world see it? When you journal, it helps you let go. And as I said, some people think a limit should be set on the amount of time you journal. But I have found that if you journal with the purpose of finding a peaceful solution, not just wanting to rant and rave for the sake of ranting or raving, you may take a while to get there. But if you keep that journaling up, there will be a wonderful, peaceful answer. And you'll find that at the same time you get that peaceful answer, the waves of thought will have slowed and subsided. Sometimes we just need to set goals. Sometimes we have so many projects on the plate that we have not been careful to organize them and take care of them in a proper way. And we become overloaded. It's just a jumbled mess. So I would suggest that if you clarify some of your projects and see what's really necessary and what's optional, and then figure out what it is, and as you see that project, make sure that the goals you set for yourself are measurable. Another thing you can do to help declutter your mind is distract yourself. Sometimes the best thing you can do to clear your mind is just change your direction of focus. Get out and exercise with a friend. Get involved with a project or hobby. Go help somebody else. Get involved in their problems. It's amazing how quickly you can forget your problems. Pick up a good book and lose yourself in it for a while. Distraction is an excellent way to bring a positive activity into your life and give yourself a break from the stress and worry. You know, another great way to ease the stress going on in your mind is use water. The effects of water are universal, calming, and healing. Think of the rhythm of lapping water. Just water lapping. I know we have a waterfall that goes in our house. The water, it's just calming. Think when you go paddle. I don't know how many of you are able to paddle, get in a canoe and go paddling, or in a rowboat and go rowing. The rhythm of either paddling or rowing, it tends to calm the mind. And if you can't go rowing or paddling, think about getting in some water if you can, for a bath or a swim. I guess that's why hot tubs and hot springs are so popular. And occasionally, no, not very often because it's not good for the environment, but occasionally if you're having a really stressful time, take a long shower. Imagine you're in the middle of one of our beautiful Hawaiian rainforests. And notice your mind and thoughts slow and relax. Just let that water wash over you and think of it as if it was one of our waterfalls. Don't rush. Let the water flow over your hair and down your body. Just enjoy it. Feel as the water pours over your head and down your body, all the tensions and stress washing out. And then we could use one of nature's water supplies, which is a rainy day. And even a snowy day can work. Go outside, go for a walk. On a rainy day, go out and walk, and guess what? Why don't you try singing in the rain? I was out yesterday, and it was showering, and as I was walking over to pick up our puppy from the groomer, there was a nice shower coming down, and I just found myself singing and walking in the rain and swinging my arms, and the next thing I knew, I was at the groomer, and I hadn't even realized I'd been walking for 15 minutes. If you have a chance, we have an ocean here. Just walk beside the water. Look at it. Again, listen to the waves lapping in and running out. Another option you can use to help calm your mind is music. You know, music has been used across the ages to soothe and relax. Now, yes, it can wind us up too, but I'm talking about soothing and relaxing music. While the music is playing, twirl around the room, swing your arms. If it's a song you like, belt out those words. Enjoy it. Get into it. Or conversely, turn on soft music without lyrics and observe your mind. Observe the stillness as your thoughts fade away. I don't know of any good music that doesn't stoke that tender place within us that words can't get to. Music quiets the mind. And along the same vein, be aware of the sounds you hear. Just be aware of them, enjoy them. You know, people around us, traffic. Listen to the rhythm that runs inside your body, your internal motor, and anything else that might be around you. Being aware calms your mind. And as I said earlier, laughter. You know, sometimes life is just silly. Learn to have a sense of humor. Embrace the insanity of life. Learn to laugh at the thoughts that you might have. And with any luck, you're going to realize that by laughing at your own thoughts and just how silly you're being, you're going to relax, and your mind in this process will relax too. And again, try to find excuses to laugh 30 minutes a day. If you can't find it inside your own mind, try to listen to some silly TV show that makes you just giggle or laugh out loud. One of our favorites is The Big Bang Theory. It really does make you giggle. And then remember what Bill Maher said. Every thought is a seed, and if you plant crab apples, don't count on harvesting golden delicious. A few other tips include, use your five senses, focus, and notice what's happening inside and outside your body. Become aware of the colors around you. Be aware of your clothing, the furniture, the seat you're sitting on, the colors surrounding the windows and doors within the doors and windows of your vision. Try massaging your palms. What a great way to relax. Take the time to notice everything about your palms, the lines in your palms. How long has it been since you looked at the lines in your palms? How does your skin feel? Is it dry? Is it smooth? Is it soft or rough? Then massage the top of your hands. Again, notice everything about the skin. Focus. Feel how you massage your hands. As you massage your hands, your mind relaxes. This is quick and easy, and you can do it anywhere, anytime. You know, one of the best ways there is to calm your mind is if you're having a conversation with someone else, just be present. Listen attentively. Match their tone, their speed, their volume, and their pitch. Also, pay attention to their breathing rate. And if they smile, smile in return. You know, people sense when you're not paying attention to them and when you're focusing on something else, if you're focusing on your own tensions. But if you focus on them, your tensions are going to ease. The longer you stay focused on the other person, the longer you'll get used to being in the now. Have you ever wanted something so badly that it hurt and it just drove you crazy? I know I have. I've wanted. Wanting ties our mind up in knots. It makes us lose our focus. And many times, it's only by letting go of a want that what we really want happens. It's ironic how we have to allow the universe to be in charge for things to turn around. When we release our ego energy, our want, it signals the universe that the door has been opened to receive what is needed. Letting go doesn't mean giving up and walking away. When we let go of wanting, we give our power to a higher power, to the universe, or whatever that is for you. While you do this, continue to work toward achieving whatever it is, whatever you want your outcome to be. But let go of the result. It's much like putting your stresses to one side while you go about doing what needs to be done. So today we've looked at many ways we could shift our minds so that it works for us, not against us. Remember that by shifting our minds to a slower, centered space, we hear our heart, that quiet part of our heart connected to that wonderful source of wisdom greater than we could ever understand. That part of our heart that offers wise guidance, that part of our heart where our most painful and difficult experiences are transformed, and we live with simplicity and joy. All this is available to each and every one of us, each and every day. So today I'd like to end our show with a Zen Buddhist story about two monks. Two monks are going to a neighboring monastery, walking side by side in silence. They arrived at a river they had to cross. That season, the waters were higher than usual. On the bank, a young woman was hesitating and asked the younger of the two monks for help. He exclaimed, "Don't you see I'm a monk and that I took a vow of chastity?" "I require nothing from you that could impede your vow, but simply to help me cross the river," replied the young woman with a smile.
I can do nothing for you," said the embarrassed young monk.
"It doesn't matter," said the elderly monk. "Climb on my back and we will cross together." Having reached the other bank, the old monk put the woman down, who in return thanked him with a broad smile. She left his side, and both monks continued their journey in silence. Close to the monastery, the young monk couldn't stand it any more and said, "You shouldn't have carried that person on your back. It's against our rules." "This young woman needed help, and I put her down on the other bank. You didn't carry her at all, but she is still on your back," replied the older monk. So how long will we carry our resentments, our perceived wrongs, our anger, our worries, and most importantly, when will we stop judging? As we end this week, remember, don't worry about your partner, your friends, or your children. This journey is to help you look at you. This week, we've looked at steps we can use to achieve a holistic mind in our messy lives. Please take some time to try one or more of the meditations or other suggestions we went over. And again, I would like to suggest you spend some time this week journaling about some of the dark corners in your life that you really don't like. Give me a call next week and let me know what you've discovered, both negative and positive. So this week, we've continued our journey toward a fuller life, hopefully expanding on how to live holistically in our messy lives by looking at how we can achieve a holistic mind in our messy lives. I thank you so much, and I look forward to seeing each of you next week when we will continue our journey toward holistic living by looking deeper into the second major area we need to address, our body, and how to achieve balanced, holistic bodies in our messy lives.
You have been listening to Fine Tune You with Helen. We hope you'll return next week to continue our discussion on living holistically in a messy life. As you go through this week, remember, you are not a human being going through a temporary spiritual experience. You are a spiritual being going through a temporary human experience.